This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org.
The title for our program today is Transparent Glory. You know, we live in a time when we are just star crazy. I mean, if we find anybody that's been on television, that's been on the radio, or that we've seen all over YouTube, somehow we think that if we can connect with them, that makes us more important. We really are worshipers of men. And I want you to know that God does not like that. We are to worship Him alone. In our last time together, we had discovered that prior to our acceptance of Yeshua as our Messiah, that our flesh was always crying, "Gimme, gimme, gimme." What the mind thinks about, what the mind contemplates, what the mind dwells on. That's what we wanted, and that is what we craved. That is what we sought after. And so, you and I were indulging in the desires of our mind. You and I contemplated sexual things. We contemplated murder. We contemplated, you know, whatever. And then the author goes on to say, "You," plural pronoun, "you and I, were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. At one point in our lives, we thought, acted, and lived as the world lives. But God did not leave us there. Praise God." We read in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Now, dropping down to verses 8 through 10, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." As we studied these verses, we discovered that faith was not something that you and I could just conjure up, that even the faith that brought salvation was not our own faith. Our faith was a gift of God and had nothing to do with how much we did or how hard we worked to secure it. It was the gift of God, so that no one could boast that they worked their way to faith. We also discovered that we, you and me, are God's workmanship, created in Yeshua HaMashiach, and we were prepared for good works, which God has prepared for us beforehand for us to walk in them. You, beloved one, are precious to God. You are very much an individual. God doesn't look at you and rate you on a level of 1 through 10 as far as whether you are His favorite or as far as He wants to bestow things on you. No, God looks at you as an individual, and God has a unique calling on your life. He has a unique purpose, and He wants to take you with your personality, with your past, with your genealogy, so to speak, who your mother was and who your dad was and all of that. And God wants to use you for His glory. So, this is the foundation of glorifying God. You and I have been chosen by God. We have been given to Yeshua the Messiah. We are part of the family of God, and we are one with other believers. And God has a work for you and I to do, and we need to do it. We need to do the work that God has purposed for our lives. So how do we do this? Well, we read in 2 Corinthians chapters 3, verses 5 and 6, "Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Now, remember earlier in our study, we defined the Hebrew title, Beret HaRasha, which has been translated as the New Testament. However, we discovered that it should be more correctly translated as the renewed covenant. This renewed covenant is the covenant of Yeshua's blood. The renewed covenant is that Yeshua died for your sins, that he has thus given you forgiveness of sins, and in turn, now you are to live for him. When we accept him as the Son of God and our Messiah, we are exchanging our unrighteousness, our fleshly nature, for his righteousness. I like the example that I heard someone say, when I am in Yeshua and Yeshua is in me, the Father, God, looks at me and doesn't see my unrighteousness. He sees the righteousness of his Son. So you've come away from the old covenant, which was the law, which was salvation by works, 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 and now you've come to the renewed covenant, which is faith, faith, faith. Now the author begins to write about our part of the salvation process. The word says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The passage tells us that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So, what is our part of the salvation process? What are we to work out? We find that God has a work for us to do, and that we need to do it. You and I need to do the work that God has purposed for our lives. So, how are we going to work out our salvation? What does that mean? Well, we just read Romans 3:28, that we are saved by grace and not by works. So, is the Bible contradicting itself? Well, the first way it happens is as the veil comes off of our eyes and we behold his glory. So I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Now, we've looked at it before, but I want us to really look closely at it now, because I want you to know where you can find the answer, and I want you to get the full impact of this verse. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. But we, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works. So when that happens, a veil comes off our eyes, and we now see that salvation is by faith and not by works. The renewed covenant introduces us to Yeshua, who becomes flesh and blood for us. When he becomes flesh and blood for us, God gives us an account of his life. He gives us all the prophecies in the Old Testament, the Tanakh, that tells us where he's going to be born, what he's going to be like, etc., what he's going to do in his first coming and in his second coming. But then in the Gospels, we actually see, we understand his birth. We understand his life, how he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And we behold his life. We behold his glory, the glory that the Father gave him. We behold man as God intended man to be before man sinned. And we see all of that. And as we behold his glory, it's like looking at it in a mirror. We are in the Word of God. We are looking at the Word of God. We are seeing what Yeshua is like, and it says, then we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Do you know why a lot of believers are not really glorifying God and are not becoming more Yeshua-like? It's because they are too busy to study the Word of God. It's because they have time to read Christian novels and Christian commentaries and everything else, but they're not spending time in the Word of God. Yeshua tells us in John 6:63, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. And Hebrews 4:12 tells us, For the word of God is living and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the divisions of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It is the word of God that discerns our thoughts and the intent of our hearts, and it is the word of God that can transform us. So as you and I are in the word of God, then more and more we know how to glorify God. If you, like Yeshua, want to glorify God on earth, there are five principles, five insights that I want to give you that are absolutely crucial for you to know if your desire is to glorify God. Now, this is so important. The first one I've already given you. If you're going to glorify God, then you have to be changed into Yeshua's image. You have to become more and more like Yeshua. So, number one is that you have to be a man or a woman of the Word of God. Now, I've just finished reading a book about a man in China, and how they didn't have the Word of God, and how they would just meet, and everyone would share the little tidbits of Scripture, and yet God would reveal Himself to them. You and I live in a country that has access to the Word of God, and most of us have at least one or two Bibles in our homes. We have the opportunity to read them at any time we choose. And I can tell you that those people in China would have given anything and everything, and some did, in order to get a hold of a copy of God's Word. So, this is where it begins. We behold as in an image the glory of God. Remember 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. We look at the true estimate of Him. Now, remembering the definition of glory is to give an accurate estimate of who God is, understanding Him, understanding His worth, His value, His weight. And so, when I come to the Word of God, I'm coming so that I can know Him, so that I can understand Him. And then I'm changed from glory to glory, as I get this truth and as I live in the light of it. But the second principle for life that I want to give you is that we don't seek our own glory. Because there is a temptation, now remember, we are dealing with the enemy. We no longer belong to him, but he is aggressively trying to incapacitate us. He's trying to lure us. He's trying to get us back into sin. He's trying to make us ineffective, because we are becoming what He never wanted us to become, and that is to live and walk in the image of God. Remember, God is the enemy of the devil. And so, what the devil wants to do is he wants to trip us up. And one of the ways that he will trip us up is that he will give us notoriety. He will give us fame. He will begin to promote us. This is why in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, Rabbi Shaul, or Paul, says to Timothy, his spiritual son, "Do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily, and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin." Now, this might be paraphrased as, "Don't you lay your hand suddenly on a new believer, lest he is raised up in his pride and becomes prideful, and then God has to deal with him. God has to chasten him rather than bless him, because he's walking in pride, and pride does not belong in the life of a Christian." So, let's look at what God says, and I want us to go back to Yeshayahu, or Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 5. "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it." In other words, there are human beings on earth only because God has given us breath. God has given us spirit. God has raised us up. He says, "I am the Lord." And as we continue to read in verses 6 and 7, "I am the Lord. I have called you righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison." And that's a prophecy. It's a prophecy that points to Yeshua. Let's read these verses again, knowing now that this prophecy is referring to Yeshua. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. I will appoint you as a covenant to the peoples, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. It's a prophecy that's pointing to Messiah, and is pointing to Yeshua HaMashiach, who's going to rescue people, take them away from the devil, take them out of darkness, take them out of prison, take them out of blindness, and take them into the kingdom and God. And as we read in verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. And this word translated here as Lord is a Hebrew word, Yahweh, or Jehovah. It is the most holy name for God. It means, I am the self-existent one. He is the I am. When Moshe said, who shall I say sent me? And then God says back to him, I am that I am. That's my memorial name to all generations. The original Hebrew is actually Ayeh Asher Ayeh, or I am whatever you need me to be, whenever you need me to be it. I am everything and anything that you will ever need. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. And then he says this, I will not give my glory to another. I will not give my glory to another. So, again, I want you to mark the word glory. You say, but you have said, guard your glory. When I say, guard your glory, it is the God that is our glory. But what had the people done? Well, Psalms 106:20 tells us, thus they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. And again, we read in Jeremiah 2:11, has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Our glory is God, but it is God that gives us glory. And so he is our glory. And when we turn and worship something else or someone else, which includes ourselves, then we're not glorifying God. I want us to understand that if I'm guarding his glory, if I'm protecting who he is, not in the sense that it will change him, but if I am honoring him for who he is, if I am living accordingly, then I am guarding his glory, and I am guarding my glory, because my glory is really God. So listen again to what he says in Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. I'm not going to have any of those idols. Horoscopes are out. Worshipping the sun, the moon, the stars, the statues, the Buddhas, all of this is out. I will not give my glory to images. Now that's an image that has eyes that cannot see, has ears that cannot hear, has feet that cannot move. It's something that people bow down to after they've carved it with their own hands, even like the gold calf that Aaron made, as we read earlier in our study in Exodus 32:4, that Aaron took this from their hands and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So I want us to see that you are not to seek your glory. Now, watch this. In John chapter 8, verse 49. Now, pay attention to who's speaking. Watch what is being said in this verse. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I want us to examine the context of this verse. Remember that context rules. Yeshua is speaking. He's speaking to the Pharisees. I don't have a demon. They've accused him of having a demon. But I honor my Father. And then he tells the Pharisees that you dishonor me. If we're honoring God, we're glorifying God. And Yeshua is saying right now, look, I'm honoring my Father. And it's almost as if he's standing up, looking at them, leaning over and saying, don't accuse me of having a demon. I am honoring my Father. And you know what? You're dishonoring me. You're not honoring me properly because God is my Father. Now Yeshua continues in verse 50, but I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Now listen, I'm not going to live independently of God. I'm not going to say, hey, you forget that he's the Father. You put me in his place. Because 1 Corinthians verse 28 tells us this, beloved one, that someday even the Son will deliver up the kingdom to the Father, so that he, the Father, can be all in all. He is all in all. God will not share his glory with anyone. Well, you say, then why does he share his glory with Yeshua? Because he and the Father are one. So just remember this. When we have all this adoration and praise for the people in this world, for those that you know are just living the worldly life, and so many people adore and try to emulate them, the way they dress, the way they talk, the way that they live. Now, I think about when young girls, and I'm talking about girls that haven't even reached puberty yet, and here they are dressing, in a sense, like little harlots. Oh, that we would want to be like God, that we would want to dress for him, that we would want to talk for him, that we would want to love for him, that we would want to be merciful for him and compassionate for him and courageous for him and strong for him. You know, in our family, there's been many difficult trials, as I am sure that there have been trials in your life as well. And it has been my desire in all of this to manifest who Yeshua HaMashiach is and who God is, and to let everybody know I am not going to fall apart because God is sovereign. God, for some reason, has filtered this through his fingers of love. God, for some reason, has allowed this to happen. And part of that reason is because he has a work to do in me. And I want to glorify him. As we continue reading in verses 451 through 54, this is what Yeshua says. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Yeshua answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. Did you get that? There's more to hear, but I want us to understand, if we glorify ourselves, we have nothing to glory in. Remember, I said that I was going to show you five things? Well, this is the second one, and it is, you do not seek your own glory. If you're going to glorify God on earth, number one, you have to be in the Word, so you're changed from glory to glory, so that you understand who God is, so that you can live accordingly. The second thing again is you do not seek your own glory. You see, there's always the evil one to tempt us and to try to get us in some sense to stop the praise within us, not to take it and give it.
Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, sectim.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.